Greetings and welcome to the Mobivity Holdings Corp Fiscal Year 2017 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Charles Matthews, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you and welcome to Mobivity's Fiscal Year-End 2017 Financial Results Conference Call. We appreciate your interest in our company. In order to be more efficient with your time, we'll be reading Mobivity's Safe Harbor Statement following the Q&A session at the end of the call. On the call today is Mobivity's Founder, Chairman, and CEO, Dennis Becker, and myself, Charles Matthews, CFO. It is now my pleasure to introduce Dennis Becker. Dennis?
Thanks, Charles, and thanks everyone for joining us on our call today. While 2017 did not produce much top-line revenue growth, the accomplishments we achieved throughout the year have elevated my excitement for the business higher than ever before. Our first major commercial deployment of our technology in 2016 drove a near doubling of our business, but it was propelled by introductory contracts with short-term arrangements, month-to-month in some cases, and a lack of publicizable results, fairly typical of early adopters. Our goal for 2017 was to parlay the growth from 2016 into long-term agreements with highly publicized results so that new customer acquisition would follow a lucrative template of large minimum license fees, multi-year commitments, and upfront cash payments. I'm pleased to report that our strategy is succeeding as we signed several key customers to new contracts, as well as began onboarding new customers to multi-year deals throughout 2017. We're now entering 2018 with more than 75% year-over-year growth projected for the first half. I'd now like to take a minute to review our mission. Recall that while Amazon enjoys the simplicity of operating a single checkout counter from their website, where all consumer activities are tracked, brick-and-mortar brands often operate thousands of locations with a variety of disconnected point-of-sale systems, resulting in limited access to data and an uphill battle in figuring out which consumers are buying what, and then optimizing marketing and promotions to maximize consumer frequency and spend. This is easy when your consumers are all engaged with one website, but exponentially more difficult when you have millions of consumers flowing through thousands of locations in the real world. In 2016, we launched the first version of our solution to attack this problem. We connected thousands of point-of-sale systems, or cash registers, for the world's largest operator of restaurant locations. By connecting all of these systems together, we ingested every single sale that flowed through thousands of locations and leveraged that data to drive marketing programs that improved consumer spend. While much of 2016 was focused on scaling our technology to manage the growth from thousands of deployments, ingesting hundreds of millions of transactions, and engaging millions of consumers, 2017 was a transitional year where we focused on insights gained from the immense amount of data we ingested, creating case studies that publicized the incredible results we delivered through those insights, improving our product, and increasing the quality of our revenue model. I'm pleased to report that we're now engaging more than 9.7 million consumers per month through mobile offers, tens of millions of consumers per month through data-driven receipt promotions, and we've now ingested billions of point-of-sale transactions into our database to help our customers drive smarter, more personalized marketing messages to consumers. Throughout this past year, the vast amount of data we've accumulated has resulted in several key case studies that have built strong momentum in advocating our value proposition across the marketplace. In one study, we worked with the analytics and data team of one of our largest clients, where we studied the behavior of consumers both before and after their enrollment in a simple text message couponing program. Together, we took a universe of hundreds of thousands of consumers and examined their purchases for a period of time before they joined the SMS coupon program. We then tracked their purchases after they joined the program and learned that these consumers increased their overall spend by 45%. Restaurants fight tooth and nail for every 1% increase in spend, so this was an amazing result. Smashburger challenged us to increase their customer frequency, which had historically been an average of just one visit every 60 days. By leveraging our platform, including the application of machine learning techniques, we were able to create a targeted offer program that printed coupons on consumers' receipts. In some cases, consumers returned in 8 days, crushing the average of 60 days. Within 90 days since launching the program, consumers are returning within days instead of months, and the program is on pace to generate an ROI of more than 400%. In another recently publicized study with Roundtable Pizza, we were able to drive a greater than 40% increase in average customer spend. The incredible results we've delivered for our clients this past year have also fueled strong demand to evolve and expand our product. Our recently announced Recurrency platform is the culmination of operating our solution across thousands of locations, millions of consumers, and billions of transactions for world-class brand customers. We've greatly expanded our analytics tools, innovated automation and personalization features, and worked closely with partners like Google to enhance mobile messaging experiences for Android smartphone users. In the near future, Recurrency will also incorporate blockchain technology to power next-generation loyalty schemes. Most loyalty programs create small, brand-specific data silos and a fragmented experience for consumers. Blockchain, coupled with the Recurrency platform, can securely store transaction records across brands and allow consumers to build a currency that can be used as they go about their lives. Each transaction informs the brand, rewards the customer, and enriches the consumer's persistent digital identity. Consumers can take that persistent identity, including their preferences and habits, and leverage it across brands to get better, more personalized service. With Recurrency, each brand owns the data about their transactions with a consumer, but the consumer owns the data about all of their transactions across all brands, stored in the distributed ledger of blockchain technology. Our proven results from recently publicized case studies and rapid product innovation is quickly fueling interest and momentum in the marketplace, which is accelerating our sales pipeline as well as increasing the contract values from existing customers. In 2017, some of our major brand clients agreed to new multi-year contracts with lucrative prepayment terms. This last year, our minimum contracted revenues more than doubled to $7.4 million compared to $3.8 million in 2016. This number represents the minimum annual contractual financial commitment from our customers, which is nearly 90% of 2016's annual reported revenues of $8.4 million. Our average contract term has also increased 250% year over year from 1 year to nearly 2.5 years. The total contract value in 2017 of the minimum financial commitments over the contract terms is now more than $19 million, an increase of more than 260% over our total contract value of $5.3 million at the same time in 2016. I'd like to highlight that this $19 million in minimum contract value only reflects the base fees our customers are obligated to pay during the term of these agreements. Variable fees, such as per message fees, offer additional upside to the $19 million of revenues that these minimum contract commitments generate over the term of these agreements. It's also important to note several of these contract wins have yielded large upfront payments. As an example, one large customer has agreed to an annual minimum commitment of $1.4 million over a term of 5 years, where this minimum is paid upfront at the beginning of each annual anniversary of the contract. In other words, $1.4 million is paid every year for 5 years. Beyond the $1.4 million minimum commitment, this client will also pay per subscriber fees, which are currently estimated to produce at least another $500,000 in variable revenues per year. I will now turn the call over to Charles for a more detailed review of our financial results, and then I will come back for a few summary comments. Charles?
Thanks, Dennis. For the company's fiscal year ended December 31, 2017, Mobivity recorded revenues of approximately $8.6 million, representing a 2% increase over fiscal 2016 revenue of $8.4 million. The slight increase is primarily due to increased customer usage, as well as customer sales, partially offset by front-end pricing adjustments associated with prepayments offered on our long-term contracts with large enterprise customers. Deferred revenue was $1.4 million as of December 31, 2017, compared to $160,000 as of December 31, 2016. Deferred revenue primarily consists of billings or payments received in advance of revenue recognition from customers and is recognized as the revenue recognition criteria are met. The increase in deferred revenue is due to a large receipt of prepayments from large enterprise customers. The deferred revenue balance on our consolidated balance sheets does not represent the total contract value of annual or multi-year non-cancelable customer agreements. Our gross margin was 67% for the 12 months ended December 31, 2017, compared to 75% for the 12 months ended December 31, 2016. The decrease in gross margin is principally due to higher SMS and application costs associated with messaging fees and new surcharges charged by text messaging carriers initiated in the second half of 2017. General administrative expenses decreased $1 million or 23% during the 12 months ended December 31, 2017, compared to the same period in 2016. The decrease in general administrative expenses was primarily due to decreases in personnel costs and bad debt expense. Sales and marketing expenses decreased $665,000 or 16% during the 12 months ended December 31, 2017, compared to the same period in 2016. This decrease was primarily due to lower personnel costs and share-based compensation expense. Engineering, research, and development expenses increased $1.7 million or 71% during the 12 months ended December 31, 2017, compared to the same period in 2016. This increase was primarily due to an increase in personnel-related costs as compared to the prior year to support the company's growth, as well as fewer software and development costs being capitalized. Operating loss for the 12 months ended December 31, 2017 was $5.9 million compared to $5.5 million in the same period in 2016. Comprehensive loss for the 12 months ended December 31, 2017 was $6 million or 16 cents per diluted share, an improvement of $3.6 million compared to $9.5 million or 29 cents per diluted share in the 12 months ended December 31, 2016. Net cash used in operating activities decreased $680,000 or 22% to $2.4 million for the 12 months ended December 31, 2017, compared to $3 million used in the same period in 2016. The decrease in cash used in operating activities was primarily due to collections of prepayments on customer contracts and timely collections of accounts receivable. Net cash used in investing activities decreased $211,000 or 33% to $425,000 for the 12 months ended December 31, 2017, compared to $636,000 used in the same period in 2016. Net cash provided by financing activities decreased $4.2 million or 80% to $1 million for the 12 months ended December 31, 2017, compared to $5.2 million provided in the same period in 2016. Our cash and cash equivalents totaled $1.7 million as of December 31, 2017. With that, I'd now like to turn the call back over to Dennis for his closing remarks. Dennis?
Thanks, Charles. In summary, 2017 was an exciting year where we made great progress strengthening our foundation for growth by establishing stronger contracts with key customers, improving our product and its operating efficiencies, and increasing awareness across the marketplace. We believe minimum contract values will continue to be a key performance indicator reflecting revenue quality and growth, following an increase of more than 260% this past year to more than $19 million. We look forward to strong growth in the value across our new and existing customer contracts. In fact, we recently announced that we expect more than 75% growth in the first half of 2018. This equates to more than $7 million in revenues, which would equate to more than 80% of our entire 2017 revenues in just the first half of this year. Our average contract term length has also increased to an average of 2.5 years, which means our customers are committing to a meaningful minimum tenure with us. This should all combine for a healthy long-term recurring revenue model. Finally, the awareness of our technology and world-class customer base is growing rapidly. Having been recently featured with the GSMA and Google at this year's Mobile World Congress event in Barcelona, our sales pipeline is accelerating. We've also begun joint selling with a major beverage brand that works with more than 700 restaurant partners, which represents more than $100 million addressable market for our services. In just the last 60 days, we have already won new customer contracts with this partner that combined for more than $1.5 million in contract values. We believe that our expected growth through the first half of 2018, coupled with our accelerating pipeline, will combine for positive operating cash flows by year end. We appreciate your continued interest and look forward to sharing our ongoing progress with you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all of you for your time today and today's call and your interest in Mobivity. Before we close, I'd like to read our safe harbor statement. On this call, management personnel's prepared remarks contain forward-looking statements which are subject to risks and uncertainties, and management made additional forward-looking statements during the Q&A session. Therefore, the company claims protection of the safe harbor for forward-looking statements that is contained in the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Actual results could differ materially from those contemplated by our forward-looking statements as a result of certain factors and not limited to general economic and business conditions, competitive factors, changes in business strategy, or development of our plans, the ability to attract or retain qualified personnel, and changes in the legal and regulatory requirements. In addition, any projections as to the company's future performance represent management's estimate as of today, April 11, 2018. Mobivity assumes no obligation to update these projections in the future as market conditions change. The company has filed its 10-K with the SEC on April 11, 2018, and third quarter 10-Q on November 14, 2017, and also issued a press release announcing financial results for the third fiscal quarter of 2017. Participants on the call who may not have already done so may wish to look at these documents as they provide summary of the results discussed on this call. Today's call may include non-GAAP financial measures, which require a reconciliation to the most directly comparable financial measures, which are calculated and presented in accordance with GAAP and can be found in this week's press release, which is also available at Mobivity.com. This concludes Mobivity's fiscal year-end 2017 financial results conference call. Thank you very much.
At this time, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key. One moment, please, while we pull for questions. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. One moment, please, while we pull for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Brad Gold with AU Consulting. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering if you could talk about potential new clients in regards to how many new clients you think you could add in the next year, and if you could talk a little bit about ramp time once you actually get a new client in the door until they really start amassing some volume as far as money for you all.
Hi, Brad. Dennis Becker. Thanks for the question. So in terms of new clients, you know, right now we haven't disclosed specifically how many we're onboarding this quarter and how many we expect to onboard this year, but as a goal, just for example, looking at the beverage partner we talked about and the 700 brands that they're affiliated with. Looking ahead, our goal is to penetrate a meaningful percentage of that addressable market. And, just in looking at the revenues that we've been able to generate with the visible brands that we're serving right now, Subway, Sonic, and others that have been mentioned, there's probably a half dozen out there that we've mentioned publicly. And in looking ahead, the remainder of this year, and just the number of brands that we could hit with this partner, being able to double that should be viable. But our goals are a bit higher than that, and we think that there's a competitive advantage that we're bringing to this beverage partner. They compete rigorously with some of the other brands out there to be the beverage brand at these restaurant chains. And so with over 700 brands that they're currently serving, we can add 20% of that list, for example, would be another 140 brands. So there's a lot of upside there. In terms of revenue recognition from launching these customers and the duration of time from engaging to sale to deployment to revenue recognition, we do see that timeline is compressing. It used to take a little bit longer. We made a number of investments over 2017 on the product and technology to make installations happen faster. We also renovated our contracts in 2017, as I noted, so that customers, previously and through 2016 and early 2017, wanted to do a lot of trials, month-to-month agreements. And, now we're at the maturation cycle of our product where we can go in and, similar to if you order DirecTV and you're paying X dollars per month, whether you watch TV or not, you're still getting that bill. We now have that proof in the market of the efficacy of our product. And so when we sign a contract with a customer, that's the start date of billing, whereas before there was typically anywhere from a 30 to 90-day trial period. So, I think sales cycles now have gone from 6 to 12 months down to sub 6 months and haven't required these trial periods as they did in the past, thanks to the work we did in 2017 in converting these high-profile customers that we had to these multi-year agreements, as well as getting them to publicize their results.
All right. Well, okay, everything sounds very exciting. The one thing, obviously, this new client that doesn't want their name divulged, is that fair to say certain clients, for whatever the reason, are not willing to let their name go out? Is that a correct assessment?
Yeah, so some are not. Some look at our product as a competitive advantage. And, since the intimacy that we have with their data is also another point of sensitivity, but I think that's something we're pretty proud of over the last 90 days with the publicity Roundtable and Smashburger have afforded us, not just in the fact that they have adopted our product, but that they have disclosed financial results from the product.
All right. Well, thanks very much. I look forward to seeing how the year develops. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question and answer session, and this concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.